Welcome back, everybody, to part two of Tea Touch for Inspiring Self-Care with Linda Tellington Jones and myself, Eleanor Silverstein. Today is May 22nd. I got confused because it's 23 minutes after the hour, so it was almost 22 minutes after the hour on the 22nd of the year 22. Sometimes you just have to acknowledge that something is so much greater that connects us all. It just is. Oh, I love that. You know, Dr. Alan Schoen calls it all that is, to all that is. And, you know, my mother would call it the universe, and someone else would call it God. And, you know, and with Alan Schoen, with the wonderful veterinarian, Dr. Alan Schoen, we would call it the liquid crystalline collagen matrix continuum to all that is, because we're all a part of that flow. And that's what this touch does, I think. That's what all of these wonderful bodies of work do, is to increase the quality of flow. That's what we're flow in and out, flow back and forth, the flow within the connective tissue and the cells and the matrix and what's between the cells and all that we don't know. So let's go to the next thing. If you would like something a little fun and playful, let me see how I can set my laptop up. 1 second. See if I can do this. Of course, and I have a kitty. You know, never disturb the kitty who's sitting on your chair, of course, right? Okay, so this time, if you can sit on your chair with enough space around you and take the leg, if there is a leg that you would like to improve. Thank you, kitty, for giving me back my chair. Ooh. Lest I disrupt the God within our home called Kitty. And cross that leg over. Cross that leg over. So the leg that you feel is more stable, strong, let that be the lower leg, and the other leg crossed over. And put the leg that is your standing leg, put that corresponding hand behind you. And the other free hand, just swing it a few times. Did we do this last month? I don't think we did, right? No, okay. So just swing that arm just freely. And feel how you can just swing it. Just ever so slightly. Can your head free up? Your eyes free up? No specific way. Maybe you'll find more than one way. Take off. And then just come back in the middle and rest. And again, put that corresponding hand behind you. And this time, as you just swing it in front of you, give a little swing and swoosh your rear end off the chair a little to the side. You just swing it a little, and you're still on the balls of that other foot. Until you just swing and you come up to standing. And then you lean forward onto that hand, turn the legs back with the leg crossed over. So go ahead, I'm watching you. Just swing it over. Yeah. This is, believe it or not, a wonderful thing to do when one leg isn't doing it, when it's just not having it for you, when coming forward and getting up isn't easy. You know, there are times that coming forward and getting up isn't easy. And have you ever done that where you take the table to get up? Right. Okay. Well, I once saw my uncle do that. His hand slipped and he hit the head, and boy, did he have a black and blue on the face. Right. So it's a thing, but that's the idea of the twist and turn. But this, you've got the chair. You may be in a place, you don't have anything else. You've got the chair and you can get up. So what you do is the leg that is your stable leg is on the ground. The other leg is crossed over. Strangest way to even imagine getting up, and that the stable, the leg on the floor is that corresponding hand on the chair behind you, and the other arm just swings and you can come over to the side and up and then down, bending hand to the seat, swishing the legs over and back to sitting. So cross the leg over, sit down, I'm looking at you, Racia. So sit down, cross a leg over, if you can. Don't do it if I'm forcing you. If it doesn't feel right, don't do it, okay? But if you can, now, so you, Racia, you have your right leg over your left leg, put your right hand behind you on the chair. Your right hand behind you on the chair, on the seat, directly on the seat. Take your left hand and swoosh it a few times in front of you, and you feel that it can turn you a little bit, until you get your tush up in the air just a little. Just lift that tush, your tush up in the air until you roll over, you get up and you're facing the chair. Okay, now put your right hand back to the chair and turn to your left, facing the front, and that your left leg comes back on top. That's okay, come back. This is good. Come sit down. Okay, so now I'm while I'm teaching it to Racia, everybody else do this for yourself, because this is a little bit like rubbing the belly, patting the head, right? Does it, Racia, is that what it feels like? It's a coordination game? Yes. Okay. So you have your right hand. I know you're muted. Ready to go. Okay. That's okay. So put the right hand behind you. Your left leg is crossed over. Mm-hmm. And then you take the left arm and you just swing it in front of you until your rear end is up in the air. Yep. Swing it in front of you. Yep. And turn. That's it. Now put both hands to the chair so you can support yourself. Swing it forward. Rotate it forward. Go ahead. Rotate it forward to the left behind you. Keep going, keep going. Yeah. Good, good, good. And the left leg on top. Okay, we'll do more another time. It's a real strong coordination thing, but this is the thing that can help. There, do you see? And it's not about the end result in doing it. It's just about having another way. And I can assure you, your brain is lighting up. Really lighting up, because it's like, what the heck is like chair gymnastics? How many felt you had a little bit of success with it? It was kind of clever, right? a little fun. You willing to try it on the other side? Valentina, what do you say?
I'm willing, but there's a very big cat now pinning me down in my chair.
Oh, no, 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 no. So sorry. When there's a cat in the lap, we can't do anything.
Yeah, we all know. No. And especially not on Sunday.
Your Sunday is my Saturday.
That's why we don't do math on Sunday. Not on the Lord's Day. No math.
Yeah, we don't do anything on Saturday because that's that's our day of reflecting and nothing electronics, no electricity. Like, yeah, good luck with that one. So, okay. So just play with this on your own. We'll come back to it. It's fun. And it is using yourself. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Watch it, Racy. I'm watching you. This is beautiful. That's it. That's it. That's it. Beautiful. And then she turns a 360-degree circle. You found another way to do it.
Should I have gone back this way?
Fantastic. Wait a minute. Now I have to try that one. That was too fun. Hold on. Let's try. Okay. Let's try Racia's way. Okay, ready? Okay, so cross a leg over. The leg that's the standing leg is behind, that hand is behind. We swirl the other arm around. Look at that. Then she went back this way and turned. And then whoop, and down and So Racia took it all the way around. And that everybody is a gift in being able to move in all cardinal directions safely. Right? It enables us to fall with more ease through more bendability in our whole body. So here's another way to fall more safely. Where should I put my laptop? We call it, Ruthie calls it the goat step. Where did I put my laptop? Okay, so the goat step is, okay, so see Teresa, if you can do this in your chair, right? So we just take one leg, the hands are rested on the lap. Okay, we just take one leg and we clop it towards the opposite side and back. We're waking it up. We're moving within the proprioceptive areas within the hip joint. And now we do this with the other side. And we go back and forth. It's called the goat step. And don't clop any area too hard that hurts too much, but enough that it wakes it up. What?
He loves the frisbee. Oh, I don't.
Okay. Now I will tell you, this is the first time I can do the goat step without my young dog that we just got a month ago, without him getting overactivated. I have not been able to do the goat step without him jumping up and down and doing a baby cry bark. Yeah, somehow it activates him and he thinks something's going on. I haven't quite figured it out, but I think what I figured is that he would be an amazing rescue dog for anyone that falls because he doesn't like the falling sound. Hmm? And then he gently takes me by the hand with his mouth and tries to get me to stop doing that. So maybe he would be a great dog for detecting seizures or someone collapsing. So you got to look at the upside for all these behaviors. It's not a weird behavior. It's a reaction to something. Hmm? So what I'm loving is that he's not reacting. So we go this and we do the side step. It's the goat step. I can't guarantee what's going to happen next in my house. There. You do that a bunch of times. Just keep doing it. Oops. Diane, are you doing this? Can you wake it up a little bit? Because you're going to see where we're going to go with this. What I want you to notice is when you go side to side, what I want you to notice is what is happening with the rest of your body. Can you feel a slight side bending? Just ever so slight side bending happening with your body. And then come back to the middle. And I'm sorry, I have a light, a window there. Yeah. Yeah. A window behind me. And just feel, what do you notice in your legs? Is there a waking up? A lightness? What do you feel in your thighs? And even into your hip joints? And now, you tilt. Now you tilt. One sec. The feet to the side. So take, let's say, the left foot. Tilt the left foot to the outside edge and the right foot to the inside edge. And just walk. Just walk. Walk a little bit. You can walk in place and you can walk a little bit around. Take your time and just take this variation with time, just ease to walk a little bit. And how does it affect as you walk on the outside? How does it affect your upper part of your body? What do you notice when you walk on the outside edge of the left foot and the inside edge of the right foot? Are you breathing or holding your breath in any place that you do this? And do you do more bending in one side of your ribs than the other and come back and rest? And then what do you notice in the waking up in the legs? Can you feel something happen in the waking up of your legs? So please, tilt your legs to the outside edge of your right foot and the inside edge of your left foot and just allow yourself to walk. Mm-hmm. what you're doing by creating these variations. Keep doing this, and I'm going to talk to you. What you're doing by creating these variations is you are increasing your body's capacity to be crooked on one side. If, let's say, your ankle twists out to the side because you stepped on something funny, and your ribs accommodate around it, your side bending becomes easy, more comfortable, and flexible through your whole spine. Yes, Jewel, that's what I'm seeing. You see how your whole body made this movement? Because what happens is when we become stiff old people and one little ankle goes off to the side, we have no choice but to fall down and break something with stiffness and rigidity. What I'm saying here is that when we practice these options in the chair, in a safe, curious way with self-awareness, and we improve our body's capacity for moving in all these directions, that if we step on a pebble, a crack in the street, a trip on something, our body can go with it. And we almost upright ourselves before we even land. Because you know how children don't fall so much. It's I'm not talking about a toddler who falls and yes, their butt is closer to the floor and they're wearing a diaper. I understand all those structural anatomy things that happen with different proportions. I'm talking about what happens when we become rigid in our movement, that one thing throws off and nothing else is there to accommodate it. And what I'm saying is when we increase this bendability in the whole body, that when one thing in the ground goes off kilter, the whole body can go around it and not have such a crash. Do you realize what a gift this is? I almost want to give this to you again and again. Because I know so many people lately that are falling. And they're all breaking something every time. And they're usually breaking the ankle. And then it's terrible trying to improve from the broken ankle. It's really difficult because it's a small bone. And then I met someone yesterday. She was so lucky she didn't break the ankle. She broke 3 ribs instead. And so, you know, what I'm saying is what we need. I'm not saying this is going to improve bone density. I'm saying this is improving this flexibility. It doesn't matter how your bone density is, how big you are, how large you are, how small you are, how fit you are, how not fit you are. I'm saying fitness has to do with your ability to have bendability.
Can you say that again?
Oh dear.
Your ability, bendability.
Fitness. Your fitness really my cat just went.
Bendability. you said your fitness increases your bendability.
And your fitness has to do with your bendability. Not with strength. That has been proven again and again. It's not about how large the muscles are, right? You could get, what is it? These new things are coming up on Instagram. What do they call it? Weightlifting versus calisthenics. So you get a weightlifter next to a guy who does calisthenics, meaning uses his body for movability and push-ups and all that versus someone who's lifting power weights. And they put them on bars to hang, to do some gymnastic thing. And the guy that does his, that uses his own body for fitness outperforms the guy who only stands there and stagnantly lifts weights. Wait a minute, duh. Right? So I'm saying this is about how you use your body. It's not about the size of the body, the shape of the body. It is about how we use our body. So when we, oh, that's an inner intelligence. And then we have, Ruthie has the program called Bones for Life for building bone density. And have no doubt, bone density rocks, right? We don't want it to crack, we want it to rock. So we don't want it hard as rock because that's brittle. We want it malleable, filled with blood flow and oxygen. We need it to be healthy. So there's a whole, wow, it's a whole program, three-part program, like it's a long part programs for working with actually that has been proved for building bone density. As a matter of fact, quite a while ago, NASA invited Ruthie Alon to come and teach the program to the astronauts so that when they went into outer space, they didn't lose the bone density using her program. It's pretty cool. So here again, we tilt the legs out to the side. One leg goes out to the side. You're on the outside edge of one foot. You're on the inside edge of another foot. And just feel there. So hands are resting on you. Feel how that bends you. Yes, Valentina.
Can you play with it where you put both feet on the insides or both feet on their outsides and do it?
Well, of course you can, because some people walk that way, right? So yeah. Some people are completely knock-kneed. Rarely is it both exactly the same. One will be more knocked in than the other, right? And with bow-legged, rarely are they both exactly the same. One's more bowed than the other.
Did Ruthie Alon look at the soles of people's shoes to see, when you look at people's shoes, you can see if they're walking on the insides of their feet or the outsides?
Yes. So you know how one of the ways I got into Feldenkrais is the first thing my father saw was I walked very much on my left shoe on the outside of that left foot. And my shoes were always worn out on the left heel. And he's like, oh, Hannah, she's maybe gets the bold leg from my side of the family. We must do something, you know. So then came the bars that they hung across and they had me hang from the bars. And instead I did twirly twirls on the bars and I did gymnastics and I hang ups. I did everything but what they told me to do. And then of course I got into gymnastics because they realized I was having fun. But the thing is it wasn't until I got into my Feldenkrais training that went away and was never a thing again. Never a thing again. And it was just, and I think the one that made the difference for that was when you put the soles of the feet together, you lean back on your hands and you rock your pelvis around the clock. So it had something to do with me being more one-sided than the other. When I would carry a backpack, I always carried it over the left side so the right hand was available to do stuff. You know, so it you never know what you come into the world with or what you acquire or what you genetically got according to the length of muscles, tendons, and ligaments from one family member than the other. It could be many things. All I know is the moment I was really doing these awareness through movement lessons, that stopped, which was really nice because I can't imagine where I would have gone with such a bow. It would have been bowed all the way out, and it's not. Yes.
When you say what you genetically acquire, it makes me remember a photo that I have in my family photo album. It's my grandfather, my father, and my brother all seen from behind walking. And they're all walking with the left leg turned out almost to the side and the right leg straight forward. It's mm-hmm. just really funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's a male tendency in utero that starts with that. It has been seen in utero. So they can actually see by that rotation in the pelvis, the male and female. Very interesting. It's actually a whole thing that was done on that by the rotation of the leg. On the other hand, I am beyond very girly girl, and I always had the one leg out, the left leg out with the right leg in front. So, you know, I'm like, I always like to prove everybody wrong when they flatly say something is for everybody. I'm like, because I just don't think anything is for everybody. But, and I'm very girly girl. There's nothing about me that's guy, you know. Maybe the chip on my shoulder, maybe guy. It certainly wouldn't be girl. So, so let's go back to, we're going to do all four variations then. So let's start with the outside of the left foot, the inside of the right foot, hands on, and we're just going to walk a little bit and notice what happens to your right side of your ribs. Can you feel something shifts on the outside, on the right side of your ribs? So now shift it over to the outside of the right foot, the inside of the left foot. And can you side bend as easily on the left side as you did on the right? Or is it a different way? And then come back. And now put your hands on the left ribs. Bend it. Support it and bend, and go to the outside of the right foot, the inside of the left, and bend and hold it. But allow movement to happen and walk your feet around. The goat step a little bit, a little goat step on the outside of the right foot and inside of the left. And are you ready to do the dance? Slowly move your hands over to the right ribs and slowly switch your feet over to the outside of the left and feel how easily you can side bend on the right. You're breathing. Goat step, walk around. Don't just stay in one place. Are you ready to do the dance? Slowly shift your hands over to the left ribs, side bend it, and go to the outside of the right foot and the inside of the left foot and walk around. See what life is like. And come back to the middle and rest. My foot stomping woke my other dog up. Like, I can't hear, but I heard that. What do you feel? Who feels their body to be more in the middle? Okay. Now, like Valentina said, another
option. I didn't hear your question.
Oh, yes. Who feels their body to be more upright and in the middle? Yes.
Where?
Very. Now, like she said, there is another variation is come to the inside of both heel, both insides of your feet, hands on your thighs, and notice, do your ribs move the same? You can see yourself in the reflection in your camera. Do you walk with your ribs as easily to one side as the other? Or do you notice you have still one side that your ribs go to more? And how can you make it both? And you can switch it and let your shoulders move forward and back instead of so much side to side. And then come back, because that's very hard to do, not easy to do on the lower legs. Let it rest. Bring this quietness within yourself to really reflect. And go ahead and go to the outside edges of both feet and do the goat walk. And notice how your shoulders can go forward and back. Your head can be easy. Bendability. Goat walking all around and come back to the middle. And now just a few times, draw your toes along the floor, and maybe just one foot with the toes and then the other foot with the toes, and then draw the pads, the fingers along the thighs. Again, where are you breathing? Where can you allow yourself to breathe? And come back and let that rest. Just feel that quietness. And maybe neutrality. In your body. And then come to stand. What is that sense of stability? Is there a potent sense of stability that you feel in your legs and your feet to the floor? And then just shift to the outside of one left foot and shift to the outside of the other foot and feel how your body can bend and mobilize itself around that, shifting to the outside edge. And what if you shift to the outside edge of the left foot and the inside edge-ish of the right? And the outside edge of the right and the inside edge of the left. And you just go back and forth and feel how your ribs and your spine and your head can bend around that. And now start to walk around the room. How is that? What is this person who walks into the room? In this way, when we come back from the break, I would love it if you can answer this question. In what way do you feel? And in what way do you walk into the room this way? And then Anna will do the questions after the break, if that's okay with you. So, who is this kind of person who walks into the room with this ease in the body? So we will take a break for 9 minutes. Is that okay? So we will come back at 13 minutes past the hour. See you in 9 minutes.